Mornings with Bucky and Aaron are brought to you by Bud Light.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
What a Tuesday. What a Tuesday on B&E. Glad you are with us. Coming up, we'll hear the highlights, sights, and sounds of a busy Monday. There was a lot going on in your sports landscape. As we get you into your Tuesday, into your bye week for the Longhorns, trying to figure some things out. Also, Jimbo Fisher, is he a candidate for the LSU job potentially? What about Ed Orgeron? Is he going to continue to coach now that he's out? And that story is just so bizarre.
They're going to need a coach at Washington State.
Washington State needs a coach. They're probably going to promote from within, but not just the head coach. Three assistants out in Pullman for right. The state mandate of COVID vaccines, and that's an issue.
So, yeah, I'm a cheddar cheese guy, and they have Tillamook cheese.
Tillamook?
I love that cheese. I love it. They have it here, too. I mean, if you go to Costco, you can get it in little squares, little bags of it individually wrapped. I love that cheese.
So I was still reading through this story. I've never had Tillamook cheese.
Really?
I'm not a cheese. No.
You're not a cheddar cheese guy? You like sharp cheddar, the white cheese?
I do not like Swiss cheese.
There's nothing to Swiss cheese. It tastes like cardboard. I've never had a piece of Swiss cheese that I said, this is
not a
really
fan
good
of Swiss.
Swiss.
And you know what I really don't like is...
Fromunda.
Fromunda cheese.
No. Nobody likes Fromunda.
No.
That's never made anybody's list. No.
I hate ricotta cheese.
Oh, you do?
My mother used to.
I'm not a big ricotta fan either.
My mom used to put it in lasagna, and I used to complain about it.
Really. I love cheese. More cheese in my lasagna.
But not ricotta, though. Not for me.
No?
No. Is that what I didn't like that was in? She would put in there?
Yeah, probably ricotta.
Not a fan. I don't like the full texture of it. All right, Buck. So what if I told you this is amazing? This is amazing. Like, think about this. I'm reading through this athletic.com article about Ed Orgeron and his fall at LSU. Like, can you, like, we're having fun with it, but at a major football powerhouse, head coach, son of the state of Louisiana, leads
yes.
his team, the team he grew up rooting for, to a national championship for the first time in forever.
Now, just remember, they've been trying to get rid of you forever there, probably.
But like, I mean, and remember, when Tom Herman, you know, they wanted Tom Herman, and they hired Ed Orgeron, and mm-hmm. I mean, it was kind of an underdog hire anyhow, and not a well-liked, but guess what? He led them to the championship.
Right, undefeated championship.
Undefeated. Joe Burrow. And then 21 months later, he's out because he decided to become a poon hound and start chasing women.
Come on, man.
Literally.
Baby. Come on, baby.
Like, that's what this whole story is about. Like, what was the downfall of Ed Orgeron?
The poon?
The pursuit of poon.
Yeah.
I'm not making that up. That's not like some type of salacious gossip story.
The poon has knocked plenty of a well thought of guys out of their business, right?
Like,
you can go chase all you want to if you're, I don't know, the head of the sanitation department, I guess.
Is it?
But you're not going to get a $3 million job there, right?
I mean, think about Mac Brown. Mac Brown led Texas to their first championship in 35 years. And he can you imagine 2 years later he'd be out because he divorced Sally and was chasing women all over
Austin?
Chasing
the poon, yeah. I mean, that'd be tough. I mean, you don't give up that kind of job, but the poon always wins.
Like in this story, I mean, the story of him hitting on the LSU high level person, LSU's wife.
It's just dumb. I mean,
pregnant,
that's at a gas station.
She says, "I'm pregnant."
She's
and
in
I'm
her workout
married.
Gear,
and she says, "I'm pregnant and I'm married." He says, "What does that matter?"
Yeah, what is? Yeah, come on, really, Ed.
And then in the story, a player saying that, you know, we were all pretty convinced that, like, on Sundays after games, he wasn't spending time working on football. He was laying by the pool with some lady. Probably a lady he was going to bring to practice on Tuesday.
And with her kids. No, your kids can't jump in the running back drills.
Like, if this
you
were
can't
made,
promise that. You can't make, you're not Wimpy, the hamburglar. You know, I'll take the poon today if you could let my kids jump into the running back's drills. You can't do that, Ed. You can't do that.
You can't, but he did.
I know, that's the thing. This dude actually did that. You can't. Little kids can't jump in your drills. You're the head coach at LSU. Now, if you got, if it's summertime, but we're talking about during practice during the season. No, Poon King. You're the Tiger King. He's the Poon King. I mean, really, Zay, right? You can't do that, right? That's off limits. Kids can't come to practice and be promised. Your mom can't promise the kids that they get to run, get into the running back drills or the DB drills just for the Poon. No, sorry, Edo. $3 million. Oh. And the guy that lost his job at Washington State, you're getting $3 million a year. You're not going to get vaccinated. That's on you. It's not, if that's where you are, it's not about the money. Stand by your guns, yeah. But say goodbye to the $3 million bucks. Because that's a state mandate.
It is, and he's the highest paid.
Right. You can stand by your guns, that's fine, but knowing that $3 million is down there, better think about that.
Can we hear from Edo on on his future now? This was Sunday, they had a little news conference. Remember, the Poon Hound's going to stay on. he's going to coach the rest of the season.
Yes, he is.
He's, you know.
They're going to follow him? Won the game, did he not? He beat Florida.
Yeah. Well, they knew that they started working on this buyout last week because they knew this story was coming because the writers of the story were, you know, asking questions and wanted quotes and all that for the story. So they knew this is ultra embarrassing, and for your head football coach, obviously. And so they began the buyout process. But I mean, if you made a movie of this,
the Poon has got many a man in trouble for a long
time.
From the beginning
I
of time,
know.
From but, the Apple and everything
okay,
else.
But it's not like Bobby Petrino at Arkansas, like one scandal. He was chasing women. That's why we spent his time post divorce, post championship. Like not just one, but that's we played the caller calling in. Hey, my baby's there.
Yeah.
Hey, don't have sex with her and post it on Instagram. Oh. Here's O on Sunday. Is he going to coach again?
Ed, do you plan on coaching next year?
No. No. What's that? I want to take a little time off. You know, I'm 60 years old. I've coached for 37 years. I think I'm going to have enough money to buy me a hamburger. And every once in a while, maybe a double meat cheeseburger, a Sonic. But I want to take a little time off to find out what direction I want to be in. You asked me if I think today I'm not going to coach. That might be different a month from now. But right now, I want to take a little time off, spend with my kids.
That dude, yeah, you're going to go be hunting for the Poon. That's where you're going. You're going Poon hunting.
I'm telling you, man. Who wouldn't? I mean, I'm not big on watching reality television. But if they made a show about him, like the Bayou Bachelor, as somebody named it earlier, I'd watch that. I'd watch that guy.
Oh, dude, if they made him the Poon King, I'd watch that. You kidding
me?
Not
the Tiger King?
Yeah.
Some other audio. How about Steve Sarkisian on a much more serious note for the Longhorns? Talking about his football team and back-to-back weeks of leading by double digits, entering the fourth quarter and losing both games. He was asked about why he thinks this is happening, what is going on with his football team, and then now that he's seen it in back-to-back weeks. Coach Sark yesterday at his press conference.
I've never been a guy that has tried to wait to address issues as they present themselves. Sometimes you don't know maybe all of the issues, and maybe some of them were issues in the past that we don't deal with now, or maybe some of those issues don't rear kind of some of their ugly head until you get further down the road. I've been talking to just a couple analogies. It's like you get a gift, right? And you open up that gift and you open it up and it's a sleeve, it's a box of golf balls. And then you open up that box and then there's the sleeves of the golf balls. And then you open up that sleeve and it's not actually that brand of the golf ball that you thought you were going to get. And so sometimes you have to drill down, you have to peel back the layers to find out, what potential issues you have. And then you address them as they present themselves. Sometimes we have different issues than maybe what were before. Sometimes some of those issues never show themselves back up, and sometimes they don't show up till we're a little further down the road, and that's our job as coaches to address them and continue to move forward. So nothing that we've ever done since I've gotten here has been lay blame on what has ever happened before. None of it's ever been, well, we'll just deal with that later, or he can't do this. It's dealing with the issues as they present themselves. And so we're presented with something here that I've said, I feel like we're plenty capable, and now it's about getting our players to understand, you know, one step after another mentality, and not worrying about what lies ahead or what's happened in the past, and just focusing on the task at hand. And that's that next play mentality that that we're really trying to instill in our team. I think we've shown we have the ability to do it, and we're more than capable physically to do it. Now we've got to put that into action moving forward in the second half of the season.
Yeah, here's what I know about this coach is when I open up that box of golf balls and they say Nike or Strixon on them, here's what I figure out. My history tells me I see a lot of those in the woods when I find them in the woods. If that's a box of Titleists, I find more Strixons and Nikes in the woods. They're attracted to woods when I play golf. So I find a lot of those in and behind trees and in the water. The Titleists are the ones that are hard to get and hard to put and hard to find.
Yeah, I didn't really get the
club and they're way down in the valley where the rich guys don't go down there and get them.
Normally I'm on a good wavelength with Sark. I didn't really get that parallel. I didn't understand it.
No, if I see a box of Nikes, I generally say, these are good balls. I'm keeping these. Or they're in the sleeves.
Nikes?
Not Nikes, no.
Titleists.
If somebody gives me a box of Titleists, and I don't care what, I generally say, these are really good balls. Because I don't find a lot of those good ones in the woods. But if they say Nike and Strixon, that's generally the ones that somebody has yanked in. They generally head towards the woods off of my club and a lot of other people's clubs. So if you give me a box of those, I'm going to go, no, you keep that box of those. I'll take the Titleists. Right?
Yeah.
Nikes tend to go in the woods.
I find Titleists in the woods, too.
Well, I find those at the club.
Am I doing in the woods? I don't know. Looking for my Bridgestone.
at the club, that's what I see in the woods. A lot of those.
I like the Callaways, too. I didn't really get the parallel, but I understand what he's saying. They're capable. They're leading these games. They've outplayed a good team for three quarters. Why can't they play well in the fourth? That becomes the mental challenge and the getting over the hurdle conversation of this bye week, because guess what? Baylor will play the same kind of football that Oklahoma State just played.
And everybody else that you play from this point
on. That's right. Also, from the sound department, the audio, how about Jimbo Fisher? This was an obvious question in the wake of the Ed Orgeron news coming Sunday that Jimbo Fisher, of course, was at LSU. LSU has pursued him in the past, and there's been some links, but Jimbo Fisher adamant he is perfectly happy where he is.
I'm going to say this right now, it's in October right now. I love being here. This is the job I wanted. I'm being here. I got a great contract. I have an unbelievable chancellor, have an unbelievable president, unbelievable AD. That we're building something, we're recruiting great players. I really believe we're on the process of building something great. I plan on being here and fulfilling this contract and doing everything. My family has roots here. I got ranches here. I hunt here. I love everything about this place. And I say that because listen, there's nothing going on there. There's nothing happening there. And I don't be disrespectful to anybody else. I coached there. It was a great place. We won national championships. It is one of the best, best places. It's a wonderful place. I love being an A&M, and I plan on being an A&M here and filling my whole contract. I love everything about this place. And let me tell you something else. And the way this place has embraced me and my family, and including our foundation, the things that are going on with our foundation, the way the people have embraced it, the way people have done everything here in College Station, I love everything about the people here, the administration here, and everybody in charge here, and the people who run this organization.
Yeah,
and I love it here.
And the real foundation is $85 million, and my recruiting is up, and 106,000 show up to our games versus some of these big-time teams. No, I'm not giving you any indication I'm thinking about leaving. Why? Mm. There's nothing for him to leave. He left Florida State because they didn't have enough. They weren't spending money on the program. They weren't spending money on the facilities.
Yeah, he has said
and
that.
He was still winning.
Yeah, but I think everything he said about A&M is genuine. I think he likes it there.
Yeah,
he does
for
love.
Sure.
He's got a big old ranch down there.
Or two.
And he likes to go hunting and fishing. And look, it's a cultural fit for him, too. He's comfortable there. Those are his people. Aggies are Aggies, right? And they have embraced him.
He's not leaving to go to the swamp, people.
I agree. I think it was similar to when Mac Brown got here. There was a cultural fit. It was a good fit.
He's got a big-time foundation. He ain't hunting for the poon. King.
I don't know. Ed Orgeron's not the first coach, but just to do it as publicly as he did, it was almost like once he was divorced, it was all public knowledge. He didn't care. Throwing it on Instagram.
His pictures with him in bed with women. Well, that's nuts.
Come on, think how brazen that is. Hitting on a chancellor's wife at a gas station.
No, he's pretty brazen.
Bringing women to practice.
Bringing like your kids.
Rando women.
Randos. Bringing randos to practice with their kids.
I don't even.
Seriously?
It's like you're not even trying.
No, that's not trying. If you, if the kids or the randos,
I mean,
are jumping,
trying to hide it at all. You're just putting it out there in everybody's face. Like, look,
Hey, I won a national championship for you.
Yes, I'm O. I am O.
That's what he was telling them. No, not Oprah. You're not Oprah.
You know who I am.
No, you're O. You're Ed O. You're not
almost
Oprah.
Like showing off all these gals he was bringing around. That's brazen stuff. Also, from the audio file, before we get to the timeout, how about last night? It was only the second inning, and Astro fans knew they were in for another long night.
Clocked
after
some big jacks.
Well, the Astros had already given up a run, and then Jose Altuve, you know, booted a ground ball that could have been an inning-ending double play. It was a tough hop, but it got up on him, got in his kitchen, and he ended up getting nobody out. So then the bases were loaded. Everybody knows that on Saturday, the Red Sox hit a grand slam in the first inning with J.D. Martinez, another one in the second inning with Rafael Devers. Last night in the second inning with the bases juiced, here came Kyle Schwarber.
Schwarber hits it a ton into right.
Come on, man. Yep, you knew it was coming, too. Got behind 3-0, had to throw him a fastball, and he belted it 450 feet into right field at Fenway Park.
What can't happen is the head coach can't be the Poon King. That's for your quarterback. Your quarterback can be the Poon King.
Well, Joe Namath.
Joe Namath was the Poon King.
Sure, he's famous for it.
But his head coach could not be.
Cliff Kingsbury's single.
No,
out in Arizona.
No, he can't be the Poon King, but his quarterback, Kyler Murray, can.
Sure.
You know?
Little
Kyler with his little teeny steps, still getting away from people. They still can't catch that dude. They couldn't catch him. Zay, they couldn't catch him in middle school, right?
They still can't catch
that guy.
Yeah, he'll let you know you can't catch me when he sticks that ball out like 5 yards before he reaches the goal line.
He does. And our last piece of audio recapping a busy Monday in sports here on this Tuesday morning. How about the way the Monday Night Football game ended last night? Buffalo Bills.
Go for it.
Are with at the 3-yard line, but it's fourth down and a foot. I mean, they can get a first down without scoring a touchdown here. It's not a third and fourth and goal situation. All they need is a first down. And Sean McDermott, the head coach, says, you know what? We could kick a field goal here, tie this game,
and see more of Derrick Henry,
and go to overtime, or we can go for it. And they went for it, and here's how it sounded.
Allen leans forward, and I don't think he got there. Josh Allen looked like he slipped down.
Rejected.
Naquan Jones stuffed the hole. Josh.
Naquan Jones. That was an unbelievable play by that.
You think if they had Derrick Henry, they would have turned around and given it to him?
Yes. Yes. Well, I think they like with a big 6'5 quarterback that they can get a yard, but it was a ballsy move. And remember on the play before.
He went way wide, too.
Well, yeah, he did. On the play before, Josh Allen went airborne to try to get the first down and like jumped over people over by the boundary, and he thought he got it. And remember, they didn't even review that, and it was almost like that happened so quickly from third to fourth, and then they didn't even take any time, and they tried
what
to hurry
game
up.
Did Dak do that? Was that Dak? Dak Prescott
that
the other day.
That was on Sunday. And
Dak was in on the third down play, by the way.
Well,
they could have called that touchdown. They should have called that a touchdown.
It's one of those when you – that's the only problem. I like the quarterback sneak when you're under center because it's hard to stop, especially when people can push from behind. But – you know, it's if they go no, it's really hard to overturn it on review because it's
right.
You don't ever really get a good view of where the ball is in a scenario like that. But that was gutsy. McDermott went for the win to try to get it and improved to 5-1.
And they got rejected.
Rejected.
Yeah, but I think that was the move because I just like I said, I don't want to see any more Derrick Henry in overtime.
I agree with you. Now
that's just not a great play call, I just don't think that was a good place to go.
And it was bad execution. As we said, I don't know if it was, we heard the noise in Tennessee. I don't know if the left tackle just didn't hear the snap or see the snap because he didn't.
He was late as hell.
You've never seen a professional lineman get destroyed like that left tackle did. And he got pushed back into Allen, who was slipping in the first place, but may have been, if he didn't get hit by his own left tackle, he may have a chance to get his footing and get that thing pushed forward. He only needed a half a foot.
And I got to believe the head coach of Texas and his stuff knows that he doesn't have enough elite players. He has to now be the guy who coaches them to victory. I mean, in the fourth quarter, he's got to talk to the defensive coordinator, and he himself has to draw up some plays that's going to help this group because you're not going to just turn around and saddle it up with Bijan Robinson with the same plays you ran for a half. The other guys on the other side get paid too, and guys like Mike Gundy understand what's going on.
Yeah.
They see it.
Yeah, it's Well, and again, I think that's the frustrating part. Is it they're wearing down physically, or is it a mental thing? I mean, is it that literally they're used to losing, and when things go their way,
they look tired. Why they look tired in the fourth quarter, I don't know. And when you're tired, your execution is going to be poor. Well, those same plays you run in the first quarter and partway in the second quarter, when it comes late in the third and the fourth quarter.
At least this past weekend, I understand the defense looking tired and banged up because they've been worn down by all the three and outs. I don't understand the offense being tired because they had halftime, they had one drive, and then they didn't move the ball. So is that fatigue or was that just mental weakness?
And that's a part of your execution, yeah.
Yeah, and that's what Sark was saying is, hey, why can we look so crisp and sharp and good for three quarters or two quarters, and then all of a sudden we can't even execute.
I don't think
basic.
You can now, at this time of the football season, say, I don't know why. No, you know why. You're the head coach. You understand why things aren't going
now.
That way.
He knows now. That's what this week will be about, trying to get ready for a Baylor game. 11 a.m., by the way, another 11 in the morning. That's five in a row. Five straight games at 11 o'clock for the Texas
Longhorns.
Somebody
says Joey Freshwater was pretty good at being the Poon King when he was a head coach.
He got
hurt in that too, did he not?
Yeah, he was a philanderer. But remember, Joey Freshwater was glossed, wasn't he, when he was the offensive coordinator at Alabama? Was when he had the name Joey Freshwater?
Yes. And then it went on to Florida International, correct?
And down to Del Boca Vista.
Del Boca Vista, with all the retirees he was hitting on.
We'll be back. Hey, speaking of Lane Kiffin, according to the odds makers, he's the odds favorite to get the LSU job. We'll run down that list and talk about your
favorite. He'll jump right out of Mississippi for that job,
wouldn't
he?
Jump that quick? He just got golf balls thrown at him in Knoxville for bolting out of Knoxville as quickly as he did.
To go to LSU, yes, he's gone.
Well, we'll ask that question coming back. It's Beanie on the Horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
BNA on a Tuesday. NBA opens their season tonight in addition to a doubleheader of baseball. Of course, the NLCS first this afternoon in Dodger Stadium. Dodgers beating the Braves 12 out of 13 in that building, including last year. Remember, Braves were up 2-0 on the Dodgers a year ago in this same spot and couldn't close the deal. Dodgers send their best pitcher, Walker Buehler, to the mound tonight. Buehler's
going to try to get this straight.
Meanwhile, the Astros will send Zach Greinke to the hill at Fenway Park against Nick Pivetta. That's the late game tonight.
By the way, Urban Meyer thinks Ed O's poon chasing is outrageous. He even thinks that's over the top.
Urban was just at his restaurant dancing, you know, hanging out.
In a lap dance.
Hey, Isaiah Collier, we got the NBA tonight. Can you give us, who's your preseason NBA, now that the regular season is here, who's your pick for NBA champion?
He's not going to say the Lakers, I don't believe.
The defending champs are the Bucks. Giannis Antetokounmpo, of course, he beat the Suns in the finals this past summer, and they start back up tonight with a doubleheader. You got Brooklyn with Kevin Durant and the whole Kyrie Irving mess. They're playing Milwaukee. And the Lakers and Warriors in the late game. Do you have a preseason prediction for maybe NBA champ and MVP?
Yeah, everybody's going to say Brooklyn or Milwaukee, even the Lakers. But I think this is the year for the Clippers.
Ooh.
I really do.
Kyrie?
Kyrie. Kawhi?
Kawhi?
Yes.
Kawhi.
Is Kawhi going to play?
Yes, he's going to play. And if you remember last year, they were close to getting to the finals if it wasn't for Kawhi Leonard getting injured. He got hurt again. Yeah, he got hurt again. But there's a lot of guys on their team that were injured, like Serge Ibaka, that they could have used. And they got a lot of guys back. So I expect, you know, the Clippers to make a run.
It's going to be a long year. We won't have a champion until June. But at the same time, Luka Doncic and the Mavs, are they a contender? Or is it just fun to watch them play? I mean, that's what they're trying to figure out in Dallas. Luka, the best young player, maybe the best
player
in the game.
Can you help him?
Jason Kidd's the new head coach. Are the Mavs a for real contender or still pretenders, eh?
Still a pretender. It all depends on Kristaps Porzingis and what situations that Jason Kidd could put him in that, you know, he could be comfortable, especially playing with Luka. And everybody knows it's Luka's team at the end of the day. But as a roster, they got no better.
No better.
How about the Spurs? Is Pop still coaching basketball?
Yes.
Yeah, he's still coaching, but a lot of people
are thinking
this is going to be his last year, or if not, next year.
They're built around a bunch of non-superstars at this point. Houston's Houston, so they're not in the mix. Is Luka your pick for MVP, or do you have a surprise pick there, too, Zay?
Yeah, the easy choice would be Luka for sure, but I could see KD winning it.
Coming off the gold medal in the Olympics and the chance to take him. And you could tell, man, I watched some of that press, they did their press day last week, and you could tell he was a little frustrated with Kyrie Irving that he hadn't gotten his vaccination. And then, you know, his point was, do what you want, but it's a team game, man. This is a team game. You're letting us down in this, you know, quest and for your stance, but at the same time, it's team sport. You're not playing an individual sport. Did you get that inkling, too, Zay, that he wasn't real thrilled with Kyrie?
Yeah, him and James Harden, they're kind of at the point of, you know, quit asking these questions. He's going to do what's best for him. We got a job to do.
Yeah,
I'm excited about Jimbo. That guy is him getting out in front of all this before it starts up.
Jimbo Fisher?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's a smart move on his part.
Yeah, Jimbo made it clear. He's going nowhere. So NBA tips off tonight. We'll see. Is Klay Thompson back?
No.
Not yet with the Warriors?
Not yet.
Will he be back this year?
Mid-season?
Yes. Yes.
Kind of a midseason thing.
They're saying the end of November.
I want to see that team when they get everybody back, but we'll see what Klay Thompson can be. All right, yeah, the Jimbo Fisher story was a big one for sure. Can I give you the current Vegas odds to be the new head coach of the LSU Tigers? Because remember, Poonhound's going to finish out the year, and which is kind of odd. But
when you want him out of there as quick as you could?
I would think. And the reports
But they're are looking for real-life people that are still coaching, too.
I mean,
they're not looking for an interim, are they? Who's the interim coach?
Who's the interim coach? They don't have one. It's Ed Orgeron.
Ed's going to do the whole year.
Yeah, it's still the coach.
The whole deal.
Yeah, they bought this thing out to go ahead and, you know, get ahead of the coaching search. Much like, you know, we kind of thought Tom Herman was going to be out last year at this time after the mess at Oklahoma or in the Red River game, but it took all the way till the end of the year. But they're ahead of it. The current odds favorite is Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin at 5-2. To become the new head coach at LSU,
so then your fans gonna have golf get golf balled?
Yeah, I mean, I like Lane Kiffin. Is he an elite coach? I think he's an elite offensive coach. He's got Matt Corral. He's done a good job, but man, he's a bouncer, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, can that dude hold an entire program? I mean, with alums, like real alums on his rear end.
The Raiders, then he's to the Tennessee, and then he leaves Tennessee to take USC, and that didn't go well. Then he's to Alabama, Florida Atlantic, Ole Miss. I don't know. And does Lane Kiffin, I mean, if you're LSU, you're looking for a potentially high-ceiling elite coach in the SEC. Am I wrong to say I don't know that Lane Kiffin is that?
I'm not going to hire anybody that's going to get a golf ball thrown at my wife. No thanks.
By the way, I mentioned yesterday that there was talk of $1 million fine for Tennessee for that fan behavior, $250,000.
Oh, they lighten up on him a little bit?
That was the fine for the behavior.
Quarter mil.
Fans in Knoxville. Maybe Lane's, you know, his offense is really good. And, you know, he's brought, at Ole Miss, he's brought in DJ Durkin to be the defensive coordinator. So they won at Tennessee on Saturday. Luke Fickell is 11-2.
If I'm Joe Brady, I'm taking that chance.
Billy Napier at Louisiana is 7-1.
Yeah, the luster is kind of off the.
Jimbo Fisher, 15-2. Look at the name, Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien. Former Penn State, of course, Houston Texans, now running the offense at Alabama.
You want Slick Willie running your program?
No. Mark Stoops, Kentucky, solid, right? Solid.
Solid.
And then look down there. Joe Brady, 10-1. Mel Tucker.
It is Urban Meyer's name in there.
14-1. John Gruden, 100-1. Somebody put, you're not hiring John Gruden. Come on, man.
Hey, Urban got a win this week.
Urban did get a win. His kicker made a field goal at the buzzer.
Yep.
To beat the Miami Dolphins. I'm gonna put $100 on Mel Tucker at 12-1.
You know what? By the way, NFL, one of the most disappointing team, Miami Dolphins this year.
Oh, no question.
Bad move on Tua. Yeah, that's a bad pick.
Well, I see Tua played an okay game on Sunday in London.
Yeah, but Tua's only gonna always play okay games. He's never gonna be the guy that takes you over the hump.
Yeah.
If you got a guy that was injured a lot in college, when he comes into the NFL, he's not gonna be less injured when he's playing in the NFL, right?
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, look, Justin Herbert should have been the pick. I mean, I think that's obvious now. Miami can't ever get that pick back. They could have had Herbert, and they took Tua instead. And
they're going to stop the mistake now.
Chargers were all too happy. And that's why the Dolphins are all in on trying to get Deshaun Watson out of Houston if he's ever going to be traded. So we'll see. So we'll see who the next coach at LSU is. I'm going to put my money on Mel Tucker at 12-1, the coach at Michigan State. I think that's a good fit. there. He knows the SEC. He was with Kirby Smart at Georgia. He was at LSU when they won the national title back in the day. He's a very good defensive coach. I'm going to put Mel Tucker. You like Joe Brady?
I think Joe Brady would be, you know, I mean, if he wants to, because I think Joe Brady wants to eventually be an NFL coach. Now he's had some experience. It'd be nice. You know, he had experience before. And to go back to that program, I think they'd love to have him back.
I just don't think LSU's in a position to hire a coach who's never been a head coach. I mean, Joe Brady is a newbie in this. He's been a coordinator. He's never run a program. I mean, I think this is a big mess to clean up, too, at LSU. You know, I need someone, and Mel Tucker might be a little raw for it at this point, only having been at Colorado and Michigan State. I mean, this is it's a great job. Maybe it's a Luke Fickell thing. Maybe it's a Luke Fickell. Maybe Luke looks at it and says, you know what, Ryan Day's, because obviously Luke Fickell was the head coach at Ohio State for a year.
See him as a West Coast guy. If that USC job, is that still going to be USC is still going to change out coaches, aren't they?
USC, yeah, they already did. They're going to hire a full-time coach at some point.
Yeah.
They're going interim right now.
I think Luke Fickell's that's the guy. Man, if he grabs some California talent at a place like USC, he can make it work.
Well, and
he could stay right where he is and continue to make that thing work. But how long does that work at Cincinnati?
I remember the AD at Cincinnati, or at USC, was at Cincinnati and hired Luke Fickell there. So there's a relationship with the boss, which is always good.
And his quarterback's got to be up for the Heisman, I got to believe.
Desmond Ridder?
Yeah.
I think so. I mean, they're number two in the country. I mean, they're the highest-ranked non-Power 5 team in 11 years at this point. And their only threat of a loss is going to be with SMU in November. That game, huge
for them.
Yeah,
they're just knocking people all over the place.
Well, and again, we said it when they won them. When those wins at Indiana and the win at Notre Dame on the road give them street cred when it comes time to the Final Four. I know people are going to assume they won't get in, but I don't agree with that. I think if Cincinnati wins out and wins the AC conference, I don't know how you keep them out with what they did last. Remember last year, and I know you can't go back to last year, but the committee does look at proven success. Last year, Cincinnati played Georgia in that bowl game in Atlanta, the Peach Bowl, and it was a one-point game. They played right with Georgia. Now Georgia's number one. Cincinnati's number two. That's got Luke Fickell up high on these lists. But I don't know. Would he bump? Would you rather have LSU or USC? Becomes a big question if Fickell could have either or. And this one says Fickell's waiting on the Ohio State job. Well, I don't know.
Lots of taxes out in California. Well, for the cash?
Well, they tax you a lot in California. But you also get to live on the beach and make like $7 million. That's not bad.
Yeah, I think I'd take that before I go down to Swampville.
Well, the other part of the Pac-12 is, I mean, if I'm Luke Fickell, I'm looking at USC. I know the AD already. I worked for him.
You're right.
That's good.
Get you what you need out there in California. Get
and it's the Pac-12, right? I mean, you take LSU, you're diving into the deep end with Alabama, here comes Jimbo Fisher building A&M, Arkansas with what you're dealing with, here comes Texas and Oklahoma into that conference, and that's a very, very difficult place to win. Is it easier at USC? We'll see. We'll see what Luke Fickell does if he is indeed in the mix there. And Jimbo Fisher says, not interested.
No, he's not.
Not interested. I like that. And how about Jimbo saying, I don't have a ranch, I have ranches.
Yes, he does.
Some swag to that.
Yeah, that guy's a full-blown Aggie right now.
I got ranches.
Yes.
Yeah, puff your chest out there, Jimbo. Hey, we're back. We will tee it up for the rest of the day here on The Horn. Reset your top stories and get you ready for Light the Tower. That's all coming here on B&E.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Busy Tuesday, B&E with you. We'll hand the baton to the Light the Tower guys coming next. That's Craig Way. Big Dodger fan, Craig Way. That means he'll be tuned in heavy on 4 o'clock this afternoon. Dodgers Braves. Also, Snoop Daniel and Rod Babers. Rod Babers. And Jeff Howe. I see Rod Babers through the glass in there recording their Longhorn Blitz podcast, which will air on the Horn tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Matt Butler, Rod Babers, and Jeff Howe. So it's Craig, Jeff, and Snoop coming up. Shirts and Skins through the midday. And then RBKD this afternoon.
Doesn't guys like Patrick Mahomes, these guys need to get, they need to start taking care. I know they're taking care of their money, but when you start getting all these families, that family stuff going on, doesn't he have the ability to tell his brother just, dude, you need to, if you're going to just, you're from now on, you buy your own ticket to the game. So when you act like an idiot, that's not on me. You're not up in the suite. You're not, because eventually somebody's going to slam dunk his brother. You know that, right, Zay? Somebody that's not going to care who your brother is going to slam you in the stadium when you act like a fool sometime. And then, I mean, I would rather have that on my brother than have me giving him, you know, sweet passes to hang out with my fiance and my baby when he starts acting like an idiot. That, I mean, isn't that the deal you get control of immediately?
What, if you're Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah. I should have been taken care of a long time ago, right?
I mean, Patrick's a little off on certain things, like his fiance that he's been with for 20 years.
He got a baby by her.
He kind of could have went a different route. Maybe proposed earlier or married her.
They're still not married yet?
No.
But they're playing the engagement thing?
Yes.
But they've been together since high school. Then to Texas Tech, then to the NFL. I mean, I think they're pretty much legally married at this point, as far as the law would concern. I mean, that they've lived together, cohabitated for long enough, that falls under the rule. But same time, no, look, Jackson Mahomes is becoming a problem. I mean, if he's just your brother who's becoming a TikTok star and having fun, when you start having to issue public apologies, and
right.
So does he, because he's, you know, dancing on the number of Sean Taylor on Sunday in Washington. I mean, that's ridiculous. You do have to snatch that back and get control of it. That when it becomes a problem for you, it's a problem.
Well, you can't tell your brother what he can and can't do, but you can tell him he can't be in the suite.
Right. You can tell him no. You're
buy your own tickets.
You're becoming a distraction for me and for my team and my job. That has to stop. I mean, you're my brother. Love you to death. But, you know, he has now officially become a distraction because he's being asked about it. People like us are talking about it. And that's not Patrick Mahomes' fault. That's the brother's fault.
But right.
Patrick Mahomes' response to that has to be, look, cut it out. You're out of here. You're now on probation. You can't come to the game anymore. Get off TikTok. Because you're famous because of me. Right? I mean, no one knows Jackson Mahomes. And if your name was Jackson Jones, you wouldn't be a celebrity on TikTok. So stop it. And you're using my name, which is now it's attached to me and it's becoming a distraction for me. So beat it, brother.
Bro.
Yo, Aaron Rodgers just quit talking to his family in general.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not suggesting that, but you can control. You can control. You can't tell your brother what he can and he can't do. He's a grown man, too. But if he wants to pay for a ticket to come to your games, that's fine. So when he gets jacked up, that got nothing to do with you. But if he's up in the suite, and he can go down to a seat down there that you've given him. That's where the suite tickets stop, don't they?
Yes.
You buy the ticket.
Why does he have field access becomes a question. Right? Why is he allowed on the field? I don't think it's a huge deal, but if it becomes a distraction for Holmes,
right?
You know, then that becomes a problem.
Yeah, because that becomes a money problem.
Now the wife. I mean, what are you gonna do? And
she got 50 already.
She's there.
You said they live together. They're basically married.
Sure.
And if the law sees it that way, she's got 50.
But you guys,
50%.
You guys present her like she's some kind of just showed up girl that.
No, no.
She's trying to chase, cleat chaser kind of thing.
She's not.
I'm just saying, she got pregnant and then asked for the ring after.
Oh. Well, they've been dating since they were at Whitewater or whatever, Whitehurst High School or whatever, man.
They've been love. That's been a love connection for a long time. Zay.
Sometimes it's true love, Zay. You know that.
And he's not like Ed. He's not Easy Ed.
Easy Ed. Maybe when he's 60, he'll get divorced and become a
poon catcher,
tail chaser like the old Coach O over there. Hey, have a wonderful Tuesday. We'll get this thing back on the rails tomorrow. Without a doubt, it'll be a Wednesday edition.
Hump day.
Yeah, Buck, and good luck tomorrow with the procedures and all the doctor's visits you have to make.
Lots of touchy-feely tomorrow.
All right. Well, good luck with that.
All right.
Everybody have a wonderful Tuesday. Light the Tower is next with Jeff, Snoop, and Craig. Shirts and Skins in the midday, of course. And then RBKD this afternoon. Longhorn Blitz podcast tonight at 7 o'clock. If you missed any part of the show this morning, it's been a fun one. Go back and hear it again. Or hear it for the first time at hornfm.com in our podcast.